You're listening to SBS News.
For months, Sri Lankans living in Australia have watched in shock and horror at the situation enveloping the country. Nihal Rupasinghe is the president of the Sinhalese Cultural Forum.
No one will ever wish to bring a country, a prosperous country, beautiful country to that level, you know, on their knees. From outside, it's very hard to see what's happening there. People are on the streets, no food, no fuel. So the situation is very dire and very grave, very sad.
The country is in financial ruin, triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic and disastrous policies introduced by President Gotabaya Rajapaksa and his brother, Prime Minister Mahinda Rajapaksa, who have controlled politics in the country for decades. On Saturday, July 9, months of economic hardship and struggle came to an end. Protesters took to the streets across the country and in Colombo stormed the presidential palace, the official residence of Gotabaya Rajapaksa. Mr. Rupasinghe says the protests back home have had the support of much of the Sri Lankan diaspora.
I think they never thought, but it was, we have foreseen that one. I mean, as an average people, as an average person, they can see that, the way they are so greedy, grabbing everything. And I mean, people have no choice, right? When the day-to-day, their normal routine is disturbed, what else they got to do? They had to say, I mean, do something. So that's what they did. They have lost the confidence of diaspora themselves living outside because the government is not transparent and credible. So I'm sure there's going to be big changes after that.
While Sri Lankans are celebrating their uprising, those living in Australia are well aware there's no quick fix to the crippling shortages of essentials, including medicines. Mohan Senavaratna is one of the founders of the organisation Save a Dream, set up by the Sri Lankan community in association with Rotary International to help deliver aid. He visited the country back in February.
So at that time, what I saw was the power failures. You could see in the shops, in the supermarkets, there were not as many as grocery items. It was getting less and less. So you could see that the events were starting to emerge.
Now, among the key issues they're trying to address is a shortage of life-saving medicines.
Because the Sri Lankan healthcare is based on free of charge, lack of revenue and lack of foreign exchange resulted in no medicines. Even microscopes are not available right now. So these hospitals are in dire need of urgent medical needs. And one area is this perinatal and neonatal care for newborn babies and pregnant mothers.
Many community groups in Australia have taken it on themselves to ship medical treatments back home. Mohan Nanayakara is part of the Sydney Sri Lankan Lions Club, who began sending assistance back to Sri Lanka during the pandemic.
That was a big learning experience when we supplied those equipment initially for COVID. But the situation is extremely difficult compared to then because the stocks are not available.
In Melbourne, Dr. Erisha Premaratna, who coordinates the Australia-Sri Lanka Medical Aid Team, has also helped spearhead fundraising efforts to secure more essential supplies.
Sri Lanka usually imports about 85% of its medicines and medical supplies. So there's been a very serious shortage of these items in the public hospital system. We have already sent over $40,000 worth of medicines and medical equipment to Sri Lanka. And we plan to continue this until this crisis is settled, which might take months to even an year or so.
In August, she'll lead a team of medical staff into the country, an annual trip that this year has special significance.
We are also using this mission to ensure that some of these rural hospitals are supplied with medical equipment and the medicines and to actually see, you know, get some first-hand information of what their needs would be for the next for the coming months.
In addition to overseeing a crippling economic crisis, the Rajapaksas stand accused of persecuting minorities, stoking tensions between the majority Sinhalese and minority Tamil and Muslim groups. A UN panel also found credible evidence of war crimes committed under their rule. The brothers oversaw Sri Lanka's military in 2009, at the end of the country's civil war against the Tamil Tiger rebels. The UN found 40,000 Tamil civilians were killed in those final offensives. The Rajapaksas have faced their reckoning, but Tamils in Australia remain apprehensive about the future. 19-year-old Renega Impakuma, her family fleeing Sri Lanka when unrest began in the early 1980s.
Whilst there's an aspect of the family being gone, their ideology is still like seeped into the Sri Lankan systems. So whilst the Rajapaksas are gone, I think the Tamils know that the fight will be harder, whoever will be in power.
More than a decade after the war, the north and the east of Sri Lanka, where Tamils make up a majority of the population, remain heavily militarised. Those expected to replace Gotabaya Rajapaksa as president are all members of Sri Lanka's political establishment. Dr. Neera Kandasamy is a member of the Tamil Refugee Council, who has helped assist asylum seekers who have left Sri Lanka, many of whom faced persecution under Rajapaksa rule.
I think that what's needed is deep structural reform, and we're not seeing some of those demands in the protests that are taking place at the moment. So the resignation of Gotabaya Rajapaksa is obviously significant, but we also want to make sure that the next government, whoever that is, listens to the needs and the aspirations, the political aspirations of minority Tamil communities.
This latest upheaval, while a powerful moment of struggle, is unlikely to heal the divisions across this nation. Naveen Razik, SBS News.